housing that might have to come with services. As we take a look at some of the mental health and addiction challenges that we're seeing pop up quite a bit, and that is everywhere as well. And that's another thing that I'm extremely proud of. Another record investment piece from our government, $1 billion we just passed in the budget to start looking at mental health and addictions treatment centers. And as we switch from taking a look at mental health and addictions as a justice issue, as to a health issue, that has been a hard switch for a lot of people to make, but it's coming. And part of that is also reflected in that housing budget as well.
This is a CKTZ News update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. That was Michelle Babchuk, local MLA for North Island, discussing mental health issues and a new $1 billion budget that will be going towards mental health programming in the province. I sat down with MLA Michelle Babchuk and Regional Director for the SRD, Mark Vanesh, in a roundtable conversation. This is the second part of that discussion, focusing on mental health.
Going back to the tax again, do you have any other policy initiatives that are similar to that technique of applying a tax to a lucrative economy in a small rural environment that then gets funneled back into something they really need, like mental health support or a mental health crisis team, for example? Is there any other initiatives that you're looking at with this taxing an industry in a rural environment that would help support another?
So most of the taxation authority happens at the local government level. Like, we have the other piece. I think Mark and I spoke about the vacancy tax that people.
Yeah, let's get into that. Yeah, let's get into the vacancy tax.
So that's a provincial tax. So Mark and I were talking about that, right? I think, first week you were there or something. And he thought that might be a great idea for here, but that doesn't provide money here. That's a provincial tax that comes to the provincial government.
Similar, right?
The MRDT tax, the 3% Airbnb tax, that goes to the provincial government too, but then the provincial government gives it directly back to the Cortez Housing Society.
Well, currently that's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people listening right now, especially some landowners where they hear the empty home tax, they're like, Mark's trying to do a Vancouver style empty home tax, 1% of the property value or something. No, I just want to be clear, I'm not sure. That what I've spoken to Michelle about is there's 240 empty homes on Cortez. If each of those homes paid a very modest tax of, let's say, $2,500 to keep your home empty because that's you just use it for vacations or whatever you want it for family, that's fine. I think $2,500 is very reasonable. That would raise $600,000 a year for Cortez. And imagine what we could do with that as far as building rental housing or addressing mental health situation or doing youth programming. I think as far as taxation goes, for me, it's like, I don't want to force anybody out of their home, but I do want to bring equity to the way that we tax. And for folks that can't afford a second or third or fourth home, great. But I think it's reasonable for us to ask for a little bit of money and use that for things that are lacking in the community. And that's my initial conversation with Michelle. Is there a way for us to do this on Cortez? And I know that that the provincial government does have a rural or does have an empty homes tax that some communities have applied for, like Whistler and other places. And my initial conversation was, is there something that we could do on Cortez that would be that sort of homegrown rural situation that's not about speculation and flipping, stopping that, but more about just generating some tax money to solve some issues locally?
Yeah, and like I said, it's not exclusive to Cortez. I think Guadra's dealing with it, Salt Springs dealing with it. All of these island communities are dealing with it because they do have a large amount of people that come in for 2, 4, 6 weeks in the summer, right, and can afford to do that. I think how you do that is a regional district as opposed to at a provincial level. And truthfully, Mark, the more you can do that type of stuff at a local level, the more you have control over it. You don't really want the province dictating how you have to tax it, how you got to spend it, you know, who you get to take it from. The more autonomy you take from that at a local level, the more control over how you get to use it. And you proved that with the MRDT, and now you're using it for housing. That was a mechanism that you have. You do have the ability to create a service on Cortez that says on an assessed value, so the people that have the more expensive properties pay more in.
Okay, so you're saying I could technically the regional district could tax properties worth over $2 million?
No, you can't do that because there's an inequity in that. Think of it this way. It's more geographical. It's more like drawing a circle around. So if you drew a circle all the way around Cortez Island and you said on assessed value, I'm trying to think of a number that I've seen in the past. We're going to charge 25 cents per $10,000 assessed value. And that is going to be for our affordable housing pot. And I'll tell you right now, Courtney has it.
Yeah.
Courtney's done it through the regional district. There's other communities that have done it as well. And what that does is get to the root of what you're saying, is that there's people out there that have very expensive pieces of property, some of which live there all year round, some of which don't. But the function that you have is a service.
Yeah, I get that part. And that's, I'm looking for a way around that, because honestly, I don't want to tax people who can't afford it. I'm looking at, like, how can we, when I say equity to taxing, how can we tax folks that can afford it? How can we tax those folks a little bit more to pay for some of the things in Cortez that needs to happen, rather than everybody getting taxed for it, including the people that can't afford it? And empty homes is a potential, because that's what's been done in other places. And I'm just, like, you're saying, like, regional district has the authority, but I don't think there's a way for the regional district to tax empty homes.
No, there's not.
Yeah. But there is a way for the province to do that.
Yeah. The unfortunate part is that you won't have control over it.
Unless the provincial government gives us control over it, or just passes all the money back.
And
like the MRTT tax.
Yes.
That's what I'd like. Can you do that?
Let me go talk to the Minister of Finance. I'm not sure how much through the door I'm going to get through with on that one, because ultimately that was done to stop the speculation, not to inhibit that tourism piece of people coming into communities. So we would have to have a bigger conversation about that and reimagine what that would look like, to be truthful. Long-term solutions, not short-term solutions on that, my friend.
That's great. I'm glad we can have these conversations. Yeah. This is kind of a neat interview.
There's one thing I wanted to go back to. You said there was just a bill passed or a budget passed of putting $1 billion into mental health resources. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious what that might look like for people here in Cortez, say, that have been through mental health crisis or addiction issues, that either would like to receive support here in Cortez and stay in their home, or are ready to go someplace else and need that serious support, or anything else in between. What does that look like for Cortez and rural communities in general?
Rural communities in general are a bit tough. Do you know, I hear a lot of people come to my office and they say, we need to be able to be treated at home. We don't want to go away to be treated. This is one healthcare sector where the people that are involved in it, because of the stigma, actually want to leave the small community. There is a huge stigma around that for some people. So to ask for help in a small community where everybody knows what's going on is not as palatable if they have the ability to go to Campbell River and ask for help.
What about telehealth?
Telehealth is a tool. And this is just my own opinion. Like I said, it's a tool. It's the same to me as online learning. It's a tool. Is it the best way for a child to get educated? No. No, I don't believe it is. I believe to have that ability to be able to sit in front of a teacher in a classroom and to have interactions and to become a part of a team and learn those soft skills is extremely important to a child. Socialization, all of those, like I said, soft skills. It's the same with healthcare, right? You do not get the personal caring through a screen. You do not build a really good relationship with the doctor that you're with. But could it be used after you have accessed treatment to detox or to go through a treatment facility to make sure that you're staying on path? You bet. So it's a tool that's out there, but I don't believe it's the end-all be-all for rural and remote communities.
Okay, can we start with people that aren't severely addicted to drugs first?
Okay.
Let's start with just the beginning. Youth, for example, that are struggling with housing, becoming depressed because they don't see a climate future. They don't, all these reasons. What can we do in a rural community to support the mental health of these kids that aren't driving? It's not easy for them to get Campbell River. How can we help improve their mental health and their education around how to care for their mental health and their well-being before they have to leave the city to do it?
So intervention, like prevention, right? How do we do it before they actually get to a stage where they're doing that? Those are pieces on the ground that we can start to implement in small communities, whether it's a CAT team or a mental health officer coming in or somebody in the medical community. Like I said, we are shifting those services from a reactionary judicial piece to an educational health piece. They're becoming a part of the island health system. So I know that I was talking to Mark. Yeah, you don't have a problem or seem to have a problem with doctors on the island, but that doesn't necessarily mean that every so often somebody shouldn't be coming in.
Mm-hmm. And something I just discovered, which maybe some of you saw my newsletter, but there is a psychiatric nurse that does visit Cortez a couple of times a week. And for people that want to access that, for whether it's mental health challenges or drug and alcohol challenges, if you are somebody out there who's going to benefit from speaking to someone and you want to do it in an anonymous way, you can call 250-850-2620. That's 250-850-2620, and that goes to a number in Courtney, and you just tell them, I would like to make a self-referral to book a time with Christine Lund, the clinician for Cortez Island. And that's an anonymous way for you to book an appointment with Christine when she comes to Cortez that you're the only one who knows about, and you'll be meeting with her.
I'm really glad you brought that up. It's my understanding that there's a pretty high demand for that service, and I'm just wondering, of that $1 billion, is that going to be going into services like that? Is there any way for kids to access that at the Cortez Island School? Yeah. If we're just talking about like basics first and just youth just to start.
So I'm not the best one to talk about implementation of a program, because some of those programs will be implemented through the school district. Some of those programs will be implemented through Island Health. Some of those programs will be implemented through youth mental health. So those teams are all there, right? It's a matter of making sure that we have the resources to fund them so that we can get them where they need to be. And also, truthfully, right now, making sure we've got the people on the ground to be able to do it, because we're having a hard time being able to fill some of those positions right now. A lot of that is, especially with youth, can be tackled through the education system. Where we're finding it really difficult right now is youth that have challenges that are coming out of that system, right? Whether it be the education system or out of care. So we've just actually extended the age for youth who are coming out of care so that they can still access all of those support services. I think it's, Jenna, help me out here, 24 it's going up to instead of 18.
That's huge.
Something like that. Yeah, it's huge. Like, yeah,
so, 24, 26. So they don't feel like they hit that age of 18. They come out of school. Their school supports are gone. For some kids, that is the only place they have that is solid and continuous in their life. They come out of there and they're cut off.
Yeah.
That's a huge issue. And the other thing we need on the north end of Vancouver Island is youth mental health beds, because we have none. Absolutely zero. So these are pieces that we're taking.
I'm going to follow up on that funding that they've announced. This is great that the province is making that investment. It's obviously a priority, and see how Cortez can access it, because I totally agree, Lonnie. There's just a need for people and young people, all people, I think, to be able to have better access to counseling and mental health support.
Yeah.
As we face climate change in a real way, as we look at like the increasing costs of just living and the challenges that young people, all people are facing compared to the sort of ease of living 40, 50 mm-hmm. years ago, that mental health is going to be something that's going to be a growing concern.
I agree. It's not a growing concern. It's already here. It's already here.
Thank you guys so much for chatting. I feel like we covered so much ground. That was
Thank you.
Beautiful.
That was
it was
sweet.
A beautiful day, too.
Yes, we have a pan flute in the background.
And, I mean, classic Cortez.
It doesn't get much better than this.
Yeah. Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.